small towns in the Western Cape are beginning to adopt Bitcoin as legal tender. Lichtenburg Bay, located on the Garden Route, is one of these towns. But the most notable example is Witzand, where Bitcoin has become an integral part of everyday transactions. Well, joining us to share more about this development is Witzand resident Aldry Hill. Hi, Aldry. Welcome to BizNews.
Hello. Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be here.
So why has Bitcoin been adopted in Witzand?
Right. So we're a small fishing village. We have wonderful flat water kiting spots. We have the whales in winter and the canolas. But at the end of the day, it's a tiny, tiny little place. Now, we can't change legal tender. So legal tender is still RAND. But we can use Bitcoin as a tool just to transact.
Why would you want to do that?
So it's just another way to send money around. It works incredibly easy, and it's just a newer technology. Pretty much like Zoom was new technology in COVID time, or like email is just technology. So this is just a new payments technology where it eliminates the need for a bank, and you can transact directly from one person to another.
And how many stores in Witzand now accept Bitcoin?
So I think the first question is, how many stores are there in Witzand? We have two shops, and one of them accept Bitcoin. We have four restaurants, three of which accept Bitcoin. We have a lot of accommodation places accepting Bitcoin. You can get your boat serviced in Bitcoin. You can get fuel in Bitcoin. There's some smaller entrepreneurial movements popping up where you can accept Bitcoin. You can tip staff in Bitcoin. They all have their own Bitcoin wallets, and you can tip them with that. So it's a very nice real-life example of how it works, even though it is incredibly tiny.
But there are more towns on the Garden Route also accepting this kind of payment.
Yes. So it has actually grown quite a lot. I think first on the map was Bitcoin Akazi, that also has Surfer Kids. And there they're doing a lot in the township about financial literacy and almost banking the unbanked. So it's fascinating what's happening there. And then further down in Plett, as we speak, the adoption curve is incredibly high. So I think 3 weeks ago, they had 20 shops, then they had 40, then they had 50. They said like on 75 today, but it keeps on changing. So I'm not exactly sure how much it is today, but it's growing really, really fast. And what is quite interesting is you can now come and visit the Garden Route, and you don't have to exchange your currency. You can just keep it in Bitcoin. We still have RAND, so everything is priced in RAND. And it gets recorded in RAND, but the underlying asset is just different. It's Bitcoin.
So for those interested in adopting Bitcoin, how does the process work? You have to download an app.
It is as easy and as complicated as you want to make it. So I've listened to IT guys explain it in detail for 3 hours, and then even I'm confused that I don't know what's going on. But it's a bit like a microwave. You don't have to understand it. You can just use it. So to start using it, in South Africa, you can buy Bitcoin on exchanges like Luno and Valour. There's one or two other ones. So that's where you can buy Bitcoin on exchanges. We transact on a second layer, a layer two solution on Bitcoin. So you've got the blockchain at the top, and then you've got the layer two underneath that. I suspect one day countries, governments will transact on the actual blockchain network, and us as individuals will only transact on layer two. So the layer two solution to start using it, and the technology behind it is the same. You just download an app, it's called Blink. There are many layer two app solutions. So you could go for Wallet of Satoshi, you could go for Aqua. There's a lot you can download, but I like using Blink because it's super easy. You download the app, you put your phone number in, and you have an account with them. And that app then allows you to accept Bitcoin.
Are there privacy concerns? Because, you know, Bitcoin, the reason why people use it is because you don't have to reveal your identity. But if you download an app, you have to share your personal details.
So I think that's also an interesting thing about Bitcoin is like, why do people use it? So there's a lot of reasons to use Bitcoin. I don't think everybody's reasons are necessarily the same. So security and privacy was punted initially as a really big thing for Bitcoin. But I think it's matured a bit. I think there's more things that's becoming interesting about that people are starting to understand about Bitcoin. The use case is not necessarily that it is private or secure or you don't have to know who the person is. It's more just that it's a superior payments technology with an underlying asset that's a very good store of value.
I mean, and it's all legal.
So the legal tender is Rand, and all the transactions get recorded in Rand, and taxes and VAT is payable in Rand. So that stays on a Rand level. It's just that the Bitcoin becomes a bearer asset. So it's a bit of a barter happening.
So does it mean South Africa is moving off the financial grid like they moved off the off the power grid?
That's a very good question. So we do have to consider that we live in South Africa and that the Rand has lost something shocking, like 50% of its value against the dollar in the past decade. You know, it's a lot of loss. The nice thing about Bitcoin is that it is a hedge against irresponsible monetary policy. So, and that's not me saying it. That's actually BlackRock. It's Larry Fink. So it's because of the technology behind Bitcoin or the IT or the math program, whatever it is you want to call it, it is deflationary by nature and actually keeps its value better. And living in South Africa, I think this is a very good tool, an alternative in our country. I love my country. I want to help build my country. I want South Africa to flourish. I want the people in South Africa to flourish. I think one way to do that is to create an economic system that's stable. It's very difficult to create an economically stable, sound system if your money fluctuates. I mean, just right next door, we've got Zim. You know what happened? That's a bit of a disaster. I don't think South Africa is going in that direction at all. But I do think it's responsible to consider Bitcoin as an alternative asset class and to diversify into it.
The shops are offering this. Are consumers actually, you know, arriving with, you know, their Bitcoin apps at the shops?
I don't know if the pick and pay stats now. At the Bitcoin conference in Cape Town in January, they mentioned numbers. I think it was something like R1 million a month being paid in Bitcoin just at pick and pay alone. So it's definitely growing. It's also growing for us. It's quite a big tourism incentive as there are Bitcoin tourists traveling all around the world because they just don't believe that you can live off Bitcoin.
You mentioned Pick and Pay. So are there other retailers who are also accepting Bitcoin?
I think adoption is growing really fast. They're projecting an S-curve adoption. Apparently, it's faster than the adoption curve. It's happening faster than the internet. So I'm expecting a lot of people to come on board very quickly. At the moment, Pick and Pay is the big one. But there's also a site, BitRefill, where you could buy vouchers with your Bitcoin and then use that voucher at shops. So there are ways. There's quite a lot of things you can do without ever having to convert into the Rand currency, even though you're still using Rand values when buying and selling.
Is there a certain demographic that is adopting that? In other words, young people? And you actually mentioned township kids.
Yes. So obviously, banking the unbanked is a huge thing. This project is amazing because you don't need, it's not like a bank account. You just need a cell phone number to hop on board, which makes it very easy for people, even in townships, to create accounts and to be able to start transacting on it. But all of this is layer two. So this is not the Bitcoin blockchain, but it is Bitcoin. It's almost like a transactional account versus a home loan account. If you are talking about 10 Rand, 20 Rand here and there, you can do layer two. It's not a problem. But if you start moving millions around, it becomes more like the home loan account where you want to go onto the blockchain.
You know, a lot of people don't really understand it and don't even understand the language of this. So what could entice them to join?
So here in Bitcoin, in the garden room where Bitcoin is growing, there's a lot of examples and a lot of really passionate people. So possibly visiting this area is a nice idea because it's a much less intimidating way to learn about this new technology. It's change is scary. People don't like change. So to entice people to do it is actually a very difficult thing. The reason why I think it's a good idea is because Bitcoin is a very good store of value. It's, I think, a trend, not a fad, which means it's, you know, definitely moving in the direction of becoming more and more stable, less volatile. What's interesting is there will only ever be 21 million Bitcoin. So we are still very early, and people don't realize how early we are. One of the reasons why we are doing this in Witsand is for education and awareness. We want to create awareness in South Africa because we want South Africans to buy into this idea and to lead the growth. Because of the scarcity of Bitcoin, because there's only 21 million, the early adopters benefit proportionately more. So I would like Africa to be a pioneer in this. I would like Africa to take the lead and to take more interest and to figure out what's going on. Because if we don't, we're going to be late. And we're going to want to know, why does Europe have more? Why does America have more? Why does Asia have? Why are we left behind? So as an incentive, I'd like to say, like, we're really, really early still. A lot of people don't know about this. A lot of people don't want to learn about it. And that's almost an incentive to get going. The first mover advantage here is massive.
Now, Audrey, what is your interest in this? And you often mentioned in the interview, we. Who's the we?
So it is a we. It's a collective we. So Bitcoin Witsand, the Garden Root, Bitcoin Akazi, Bitcoin Plet. Bitcoin becomes a community. And when I speak of we, I almost mean like Bitcoin in its entirety. Bitcoin is decentralized. So there's no single head or CEO or board running Bitcoin. It is completely decentralized. And this is what makes Bitcoin completely different from crypto. So I feel strongly about this. It's Bitcoin, not crypto. The crypto guys had a look at the IT underlying Bitcoin. They saw that it's a good idea. They saw that this can really work and change the future. And then they decided that they want to profiteer or they want to enrich themselves. And I have no problem with that. That is the free, that's how things work. I like it when people make money. Go make money. But not at my expense. It's not a risk. They have access to the code. So everything, Bitcoin is decentralized and has no head. Crypto, every other cryptocurrency that exists has a CEO and a marketing department, and they have the power to change the code. And even though they promise they won't change the code, they pinky promise they won't change the code, it's not a risk I'm willing to accept. Like, I actually don't like risk. I know it might sound like I'm open to risk because I'm so keen on Bitcoin, but I don't like risk. So that I'm not going to take that risk. That's why it's Bitcoin only for me. Come back to your question of who's the we. So it's all of us together. Bitcoin is a network across the globe. Here in the Garden Route, we have a very nice network. There's not one person that started this and now it's working. There's no group with a leader. We're just all working together.
So, Ellie, I've been wondering, if you don't have a bank account, how are you supposed to transfer money into your Bitcoin account?
That is an excellent question. So at the moment, there are two ways to get Bitcoin. You either have to buy Bitcoin or you have to earn Bitcoin. You have to work for Bitcoin. So buying it is obviously on the exchanges. But if you just want to earn Bitcoin in our small economy, that would be something very practical, like you wash a car and somebody pays for it using Bitcoin, or you sell a product using Bitcoin. And that's how you get started.
Well, Audrey Hill, thank you so much. That was really interesting. You taught me a lot about Bitcoin.
Thank you. I'm extremely passionate about it. And I'm sorry if I spoke too much. I just get so excited when people are interested. A lot of the time, people shy away from anything that's new. You know, rather the devil you know loyalty kind of thing. So thank you. I really appreciate it. And I hope someone listening comes to visit the Gardenery.